Now, in 1922, Edith Thompson and her lover, Freddie Bywaters, were charged with the murder of her husband, Percy, in a quiet back street in Ilford. Although no solid evidence connected Edith to the crime, and millions signed a petition for clemency, both were hanged on the 9th of January, 1923. Edith was 29, Freddie just 20. Now, the story of the events leading up to that day comes to BBC Seven in a drama written by Sheila Stevenson and based on the many letters written to Freddie by Edith. Expect some strong language and adult content in Darling PD.
Because I have no paper or pen, and anyway, I'm on a bus on my way to work. I try to imagine you out there in the middle of the ocean. Is it night time where you are? Perhaps you're asleep in your cabin. Freddie, sweetheart, do you hear me where you sleep? And are you missing me as I'm missing you? The last few weeks have felt like forever. I want you to be back here now. Yesterday, a woman at work said, "Your husband's a very handsome man, isn't he, Mrs. Thompson?" I tried so hard not to laugh because she must have seen me with you and thought you were poor old Percy. Darling, I wish you could hear me. I'm trying so hard to be with you in my head. Telepathy must work if you try as hard as this. I look at my hand and I think of the day before you left. We were at the Waldorf. I remember every word, every look, every touch, darling. To you.
Edie, over here.
Freddie, darling, I'm sorry. I couldn't get away.
Oh, don't worry. I've just arrived. Let me take your coat.
Thanks.
Oh, I say.
What?
Your frock. You look lovely.
Haven't you seen it before? Real crepe de chine. I won't tell you what it cost.
Well, you look lovely.
That's the second time you've said that.
Must be because it's true. I got you a port. Is that the thing?
You know it is. Well, here's to... I don't know. What shall we drink to? Us? Shall we drink to us?
If you want to. All right, then.
You don't sound very enthusiastic. Perhaps you'd rather drink to the king or something.
Don't be silly. To us, then. Cheers.
Do you mean it, Freddie? Really and truly?
What?
Us. I have to know because you're going away again and I can't bear it. You don't know how horrible it is at home just now.
Is he being difficult again?
It's vile. I can't bear him to touch me, and he just goes on and on until I'm worn down with it, and I'll do anything for some peace and quiet.
No, I know. I understand.
I'm suffocating. I keep thinking, this is my life, and this is the way it's going to be forever. Unless we do something about it. I can't bear it. He'll never give me a divorce. You know what he's like. I must have been sleepwalking when I married him. You're the only thing that keeps me alive, and you keep going away.
Petey, don't get yourself worked up. Calm down. It'll be all right. I promise.
6 years of being buried alive. That's what it feels like. And he doesn't even love me, Freddie.
Of course he does. How could he not love you?
Not the way you... It's different with you.
P.D.
I know I shouldn't be saying these things, but this is the only time I get with you alone. These stupid bits of my lunch hour, it's pathetic. I have to store up all these huge feelings for this tiny amount of time we have, and I'm frightened that perhaps you don't mean it. All those things you say. You said things about love yesterday, and I suddenly thought, what if he doesn't mean it? What if it's only infatuation?
Of course I meant it.
I thought perhaps, you know, it might just have been because we were in bed. Oh, God. I wish we were there now, don't you?
Don't, Petey. I can't bear it.
Freddy, I'm frightened.
Oh, don't be. Don't be.
Hold my hand. Hard. Under the table where no one can see.
I wish I could fold you into a parcel and take you with me.
Perhaps we should stop. Perhaps we should stop this right now. The lies are driving me mad.
Well, why should we stop? We haven't harmed anyone. Nobody knows.
I don't even mean it. I can't stop now. I don't have any willpower left. I'd die for you. I'd do anything for you.
Come here. Listen to me. I want to be a pal to you. I want to take away all the pain he's given you. I want to make you better. We'll sort something out. You mustn't worry.
What if we don't? Will we still kill ourselves?
Don't think about that now, P.D.
5 years, we said. We've less than four left.
We won't come to that. Come here.
Oh, that's right. Squeeze my hand, darling. Harder. Oh, harder. Or squeeze it so the bones crack. Squeeze it so you leave a bruise. Leave a mark like you did before, so that every time I look at it for weeks to come, I'll think of you. And it will be like a secret sign. Like your seal upon me. Like a promise. Do you understand?
Order gate, Drake.
Watch yourself, miss.
This is the third time I've come in here this morning and found you two doing absolutely nothing.
Sorry, Mrs. Thompson.
It's not as if I've asked you to do anything particularly difficult, is it? The buyer will be here in 10 minutes.
We didn't know whether you wanted us to show them on stands or to model them for him.
Mm. For goodness sake, if he asks you to model one, put it on and give him a twirl.
It's bad luck to try on morning hats.
If he wants you to show him one, you put it on or you'll be out on your elbow.
I'm superstitious.
It's a hat, for heaven's sake. Give me that silk one. There. I'd be quite happy to wear it all day. Now, do as you're told, or I'll have Mr. Carlton down on you like a ton of bricks. And Elsie, be in the office as soon as you've finished. I have some letters I want you to post.
Creep. Said fair to her cousin. Well, that's enough to make a cat laugh. I note she's wearing the brown lace. Must be planning lunch with the buyer.
Or Mr. Carlton.
He's got a real thing about her. And he must be 50 at least. You'd think she was some sort of raving beauty or something.
Darlingest, I'm sitting here at work, doing the accounts, and all I can think of is you. Only half an hour to go, and then I'm going dancing with Avis. You don't mind, do you, darling? All the time I ask you these things in my head, in the hope that you might hear me somewhere in your head. I don't do anything now without talking to you first, so it's just as if you're here, really. Except that you aren't. Percy's got a Masonic dinner. I got out of it by saying I was working late. I wish I didn't have to tell these lies all the time. Sometimes I get quite muddled.
I think he's taken a fancy to you, Edie.
How?
Oh, sorry. Who? Your partner. Who's leading?
I am. I'm the oldest.
That was the second dance he's had.
Not my type.
Anyway, I'm a respectable married woman. You have him, Avis.
I don't want your leftovers. Anyway, he's not my type either. I prefer them with hair.
What is your type?
I'm not sure. I thought Freddie Bywaters might fit the bill, but it's cooled off completely. I reckon he's got a girl somewhere.
What makes you think that?
Oh, you know. He's very friendly whenever I see him, but it's not the same.
Probably just as well, darling. You know what these sailors are like. A girl in every port.
Did he have any girlfriends when he was lodging with you?
Dozens, I expect. Not that I ever asked him. Now, are we going to have one last drink before we go?
Won't Percy get fed up if you're late home?
He's not in. And anyway, I'm bored with Percy's temper. Doesn't frighten me anymore. Let's sit the next one out. What are you having?
Edie?
What?
What are you doing?
Ironing.
Do you know what time it is?
Yes.
It's after midnight.
Do you want a fresh shirt tomorrow or not?
Well, why didn't you do it earlier?
Because I didn't. I was out. Stop hovering and go to bed. I won't be long.
Where were you anyway?
I told you I had a drink with Avis.
Are you sure?
Well, unless it was someone impersonating Avis.
I suppose you had a couple of men in tow, did you?
Don't be ridiculous, Percy. Oh, go to bed.
I'll make some cocoa.
Milk's off.
I'll wait then.
For heaven's sake. Go on up. I'll follow you in a minute.
I'll go when I feel like it.
I can't see why you want to stand there and watch me ironing a shirt, but see yourself.
I've had enough of the CD.
What are you talking about?
Put that thing down, for God's sake. Every night, it's 3 o'clock in the morning before you crawl into bed. I'm not stupid. I know what your game is.
What?
You're hoping I'll be asleep, aren't you?
You do say some odd things, Percy.
If you're not up those stairs in 5 minutes, I'll...
What? Punch me on the jaw? Throw me across the room? What have you got in store for me tonight?
5 minutes, I said. That's all.
I've got a blouse to do yet.
Well, do it in the morning!
Darlingest, I promised you I wouldn't let him touch me. I know when I get up there he'll be wide awake. Like a cat waiting for a mouse to come out of its hole. It's his mouth I can't bear. I have to turn my head away. It makes me feel sick. And every nerve in my body goes taut, braced for the touch of his fingers. I'd rather rats crawl over me than his hands. When you come back this time, you must take me away with you. I cannot live like this, Freddy. It is torture. Can you hear me, my sweetheart? Can you hear me over half the world?
You took your time.
Shh. Go to sleep.
I'm not tired. Edie. Edie, come
no,
on.
No, it's not a good time, Percy.
Edie, please. Edie, please. I just want you to love me the way you used to. I want you to come back to me. I feel as if you're always somewhere else.
No, I don't feel well.
Edie, for God's sake.
It's the wrong time. No, I've got
Edie,
bad pains. Oh, Percy, you're hurting me.
What pains are these, then? I can make them go away. Just relax a bit. Come on. Edie. Edie, now, come on. Edie, please, come on.
Stop it! Get off me! You're vile. You're disgusting. You're a foul, disgusting animal.
Edie, for Christ's sake, come here. Edie, come here.
Go away. I'm sleeping in here.
Edie, open the door.
Open the bloody door! Plenty
of... I'll scream. I'll scream my head off, and then the police will come, and the whole street will know how you treat your wife, if they don't bloody know already. Freddy, my darling, where are you? He threw me on the bed and said, we've got to have a baby and everything will be all right then. Think how I felt when he said that. Nothing seems to do any good. Nothing works. Darling, if you were here, you could help me. I know you could. All I can think of is that once I lay in this bed and it was with you, and it was the most perfect hour of the whole of my life. You said it was the best birthday present you'd ever had. Do you remember, darlingest? Do you?
Good morning.
What?
I've brought my lodger a birthday present. Breakfast in bed. I took the day off specially. I told Percy I had a headache.
Is he...
coming to work.
So, it's just the two of us?
Yes. Are you pleased?
It's a lovely surprise.
Is it?
You look so pretty.
No, I don't. I've just got up. I've hardly even brushed...
Edie.
What?
Get into bed with me.
I don't want you to think I'm a bit...
Come here. Come here. Let's undo these buttons, eh?
I don't want you to think I'm cheap, Freddy.
But I love you, Edie. I love you. Come here.
It's all right, isn't it, if we love each other? And you're 8 years younger than me.
Don't say that, Petey.
I don't care. What did you just call me?
Petey. Edie Petey.
Oh, will you always call me that? Petey. It can be our secret.
We've got quite a lot of secrets now.
Yes. Oh, it's blissful, isn't it? It gives me a tingly feeling here.
Where?
Here.
You staying there all day, Edie?
What?
It's 8 o'clock. Stir yourself.
Oh, I feel sick. I'm not going in today. Oh, leave me alone, Percy. Oh, I'm not well.
We're supposed to be meeting at the theatre tonight.
Well, I'll be better by then. Leave me alone.
Did you enjoy that? Daddy.
Yes, Mum.
What about you, Bertie?
Yeah, very enjoyable.
I've got a scream.
That's funny.
What's the matter with you?
Let's step in for a quick one, eh?
Oh, I don't
know. Yeah, lovely. I could do with a pint.
Oh, come on, Edie. You've been in a proper cramp all night.
I don't feel terribly well, actually.
Oh.
Well, have a brandy and soda. That should sort you out.
Look, go on ahead. We'll catch you up.
Right.
You tell her what's what, Avis. See you in the King's Head.
What's wrong, Edie?
Nothing. I'm tired, that's all.
Have you and Bertie had a row?
No.
You've hardly spoken to each other all night.
Marriage isn't all sweetness and light, you know.
You can tell me if you're unhappy, you know. I'll understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being horrible, aren't I? Percy and I are fine. Honestly, we've just been bickering a lot lately. And it's that time of the month, you know. It always makes me foul-tempered.
Has he hit you again?
He only did it once, Davis.
Well, if you need someone to... No, I mean, if you ever need to talk or anything...
Thanks.
Come on. Cheer up. Dad will have bought you a brandy with a bit of luck.
Another demand for the rates.
Oh, good.
I'm not paying until they sort those drains out. Did you hear me?
You're not paying until they sort those drains out.
It's a matter of principle.
You'll miss your train, Percy.
Let them take me to court.
Absolutely, why not? It's 8:05, incidentally.
Right.
I think I'll fancy a bit of fish for supper.
It's Friday, you always do.
Darling, did you get the book I sent you? I want to be just like the heroine. She's so noble and she understands how huge and strong love can be. She'd sacrifice everything for the man she loves. Do you agree with that? I do. Write and tell me what you think. Shall we try and find a flat in Chelsea just like hers, darling, and have artists and things to supper and visit the continent?
Do you know how much we spent at the dairy last week? I've been working it out.
I'm all ears.
3 and 6 pence halfpenny.
Well, I never.
That's what I thought.
What I want more than anything, my sweetheart, is to share everything with you in a tumble-down cottage or a studio in Chelsea. I want to wear all those silks that you sent me and have plumes in my hair so that you feel proud that I'm your lover. But do you like that, darling? I feel warm and tingly just thinking of it. I don't know where to send this because you haven't told me where your next port is. I'll save it until I find out or until I hear from you.
That's my porridge, Percy.
What's the difference?
Oh, have it then. I don't care.
You going to work in your dressing gown this morning?
I'm getting a later train. I've got those pains again.
I never know which pains you're talking about. You've got so bloody many of them.
You're the one who's the hypochondriac, not me.
When you start taking my heart trouble seriously, I'll start sympathising with your little aches and pains.
How's the porridge?
What?
Is it all right?
Why, what have you done to it?
Nothing. I just thought I'd over-salted it, that's all.
Oh, tastes fine to me. Turn around a minute.
What?
You're putting on weight.
Darling. Can I get you a cup of tea or something, Mrs. Thompson?
For goodness sake, Rose, don't creep up on me like that. You frighten me out of my skin.
I just wondered...
No, thank you. I must finish these letters before the end of my lunch hour. Excuse me.
Sorry,
Darling, yesterday I met a woman who had lost 3 husbands in 11 years and not through the war. 2 were drowned and 1 committed suicide. Some people I know can't lose 1. How unfair everything is. Pess and Reg are coming to dinner Sunday. I had the wrong porridge today, but I don't suppose it will matter. I don't seem to care much either way. He'll probably say I'm careless, and I admit I am, but I don't care. Do you?
Thanks for the supper, Edie. I suppose we'll better make tracks soon.
Oh, stay, Avis. You can have the spare room. It's too cold to go out again.
What about Percy?
What about him? He's not here to argue. And he'll be hopelessly slewed when he gets back. You know what he's like after two halves of bitter.
He thinks we talk about him behind his back. He's always quizzing me about it.
Oh, he flatters himself. Oh, God, I wish it was summer. I'm tired of this freezing misery and these horrible dark nights. I feel as if I'm just sitting it out, waiting for spring to come.
Spring was vile last year.
It won't be this year.
How do you know?
I just do. All I need now is a big box of chocolates and a good book, and I'd be almost happy.
What's the missing ingredient?
A passionate lover. The best in all the world. Kissing my toes and promising to take me to the pyramids. Like in the book I'm reading.
Edie?
I'm joking. Not about the chocolates, though.
Freddie Bywater said he'd try and bring me some of that Swiss stuff I like the next time he's home.
That's no good. I want it now. When is he due back, by the way? I haven't seen him for ages.
Next week, I think.
Has he written to you?
No. He wrote to Mum. She wanted some fags or something. Has he written to you?
Of course not. I'm married, silly. Darling. Angel. Only a week left now until I see you. I don't know if I can last that long. I feel desperate, as if I will do something mad soon. My head is full of you. My heart is bursting for you. And last night he and I had such a row, one of the worst. No, the worst. He called me things I couldn't repeat, even to you, sweetheart. I feel tainted just thinking of them. I cried all night, every second of it. And I couldn't even sleep in the spare room because Avis was there. She probably heard everything. She'll know now that I'm telling the truth when I say he's a monster. Darling, you should see my face. It is the very picture of a soul in misery. I've put on my brown velvet hat to hide myself from the eyes of office boys who feel solicitous or full of pity. I stare fixedly out of the window and avoid their eyes. It is horrible to have grief so stamped upon your face like a banner. Oh, my darling, why don't you write? I could bear the fights and the uncertainty if you'd write. When I don't hear from you, I think that you are drowned and lying at the bottom of the ocean with fishes swimming in your hair. I've dreamt this, darling. It's horrible. He hit me last night. It was a punch, not a slap. You have to save me. I'm trying to be brave. But how can I when I don't hear one word from you for all these weeks? What am I to think? Every fibre of me is reaching out to you, begging you to still love me as much as I do you.
Oh. Try and sit down, Lizzie.
Oh, my God.
Violet's gone to fetch the doctor. Don't worry.
No, don't get a doctor. I'll be all right. Just let me...
Oh, blow me.
me she's fainted. Shall I loosen her blouse or something?
Well, get her some water.
Try to put her head between them.
Well, don't be stupid. She's out cold. Go and see what Fire's doing about the doctor. Mrs. Thompson, are you all right?
Are you sure it's a good idea to have a bath?
For God's sake, Percy, it's women's trouble, that's all. I'm not going to die.
I think we should get a second opinion.
I don't need a second opinion.
Evie, come on.
Oh. I'm sorry, I'm just very tired and I need a bit of time to myself. I didn't mean to jump down your throat. Why don't you go over to Mum and Dad's anyway? There's no need to spoil your evening just for me.
You look terrible, Edie.
I'll be fine. Now go, please,
Edie,
please.
No, I can't leave you like this.
I feel
come
very
on.
Sick.
Edie.
Oh, God, help me! Oh, God! I've done this for us, my darling, haven't I? Thank God for that stuff you sent. I knew it would work eventually, if I took enough. Jesus, just 6 more days and you'll be here. I'm trying so hard to hold on, Freddie, darling. I am, honestly. I need so much to tell you about all this. To show you how much your PD will go through for you. I'd walk through fire, my darling, I would. I mean it. Freddie, sweetheart, I want you to hear me wherever you are. Be here soon, please.
Now, do me a favour, Rose, and take this note over to a gentleman who's waiting for me in Fuller's tea room.
What does he look like?
For goodness sake, you've seen him before. It's Mr. Bywaters.
Oh.
Tell him I'll join him as soon as I finish these accounts. And hurry, he'll think I've abandoned him.
I'm not being distant, Petey.
Yes, you are. We haven't seen each other for 8 weeks and you're being cold and horrible. I can't bear it. You haven't even asked me how I am.
Stop getting hysterical.
I'm not getting hysterical. You don't know what I've been through the last few weeks. It's all right for you. I don't even know where you are half the time because you never write anymore.
What a lie, Petey.
Don't you call me a liar.
Come on, let's get out of here. You're making a scene. Excuse me. Excuse me. Let's just grab a drink somewhere.
I can't bear it any longer, Freddie. I love you too much. I can't live without you. I can't. I can't.
Stop it, for God's sake. Please, Phoebe. People are looking at us. Come on. Oh, let's get a brandy down you.
Where the hell have you been?
Out.
Don't talk to me like that.
Oh, give it a rest, Percy, for God's sake.
Ready?
Katie, how did you manage it?
I just told him I was going up to the West End all day. I said I'd buy him some colour studs. Isn't this snow lovely?
Yeah.
It's like being in a sort of secret world. Even the traffic sounds different.
You're all right, though, aren't you? I don't want to wear you out. You still look a bit pale.
I lost a lot of... It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter at all now, darling, now that you're back. I don't want us to have any more disagreements, sweetheart, not ever again. I was overwrought the other night, that's all.
Was it horrible, Petey? Well, you know, I mean, did it hurt terribly?
It's what we decided. I don't care about any of it. I'd go through anything for you, darling. You know I would. I'd go through any amount of...
Oh, come on. Let's get something to warm you up. Your hands are freezing.
Sometimes, darling, I just wish he was dead. Oh, I know that's awful, but I do.
Well, not dead, perhaps, but somewhere else. Like Siberia.
The Gobi Desert.
The moon, that wouldn't do it. Maybe he'll just smoke himself to death.
It's a bit slow, it could take years.
There's nothing for it, we'll just have to shoot him.
Guns are a bit tricky.
Hyoscine poisoning. I read something about that the other day. What is it?
Oh, God knows. What about the old ground glass? That's what they do in novels. Try the old light bulb in the porridge routine.
He's got such a cast-iron stomach he wouldn't even notice. What about weed killer? He's always throwing the stuff around the garden. I could make him a little cocktail.
What's wrong?
I had such a horrible dream last night. I just remembered. I dreamt that you came home unexpectedly and you saw me at the theatre with another man. And you just pushed me over a very high precipice. And I was killed.
Oh, you shouldn't eat cheese before you go to bed, I've told you.
It was one of those awful dreams, Freddy. You know those ones where you just fall and fall. Don't you hate it? That falling feeling.
I want to talk to you, Edie.
Oh, go to sleep, Percy. It's after midnight.
I saw you the other day.
Saw what?
You and your sailor boy.
So? Anyway, he's not my sailor boy. His name's Freddy, and he's our friend.
He's no bloody friend of mine.
That's not my fault. Go to sleep.
He writes to you at work, doesn't he?
No.
He meets you there. I've seen him.
As far as I know, he's not even in the country at the moment.
Yes, he is.
I'm tired, Percy. Do you mind?
You were with him the other Saturday. I'm not stupid.
I never said you were. Good night.
I won't let you go, Edie. I won't divorce you.
Do we have to go through this again?
I married you. You're mine, and I'm keeping you.
Whether I like it or not.
You used to like it, Edie, before he turned up. Remember? Try, Edie. Please, try. Try, just for me.
All right, Percy, I'll try, I promise.
We could be happy again, couldn't we?
We can try, Percy. Now, I'll...
Edie.
Darlingest boy I know, on our birthday, you will have left Aden on your way to Bombay. You'll be thinking of a girl whose best pal you are in England, won't you? I'll think of you all day, every little minute. Time hangs so dreadfully. And just because I want to work it away, we are not busy this week and are finishing at 5. Darling, how can you get ptomaine poisoning from a tin of salmon? One of our boys' mothers died with it after being ill only 3 days. 1 year ago today, we went for a ride in a charabanc round the Isle of Wight. Do you remember? Last night, when I went to bed, I kissed you goodnight in my mind because that was the first time you kissed me.
We heard from Fred Bywaters the other day.
Oh, did you? How is he? Oh, sit down, Mum. I'll make you all a cup of tea in a minute.
He's visiting your cousin in Sydney. Seems very well. Back in September the 23rd. You ought to call round when he drops in. He always asks after you.
Yes, I must.
Him and Percy still not getting on, eh?
I told you, Dad, they had a row months and months ago.
Oh, seems a pity, doesn't it? Used to get on so well.
Well, Fred is hardly ever here anyway, so it hardly matters.
No, but you made a nice foursome, you and Percy and Fred and Avis. I had high hopes there.
What was the row with Percy about? For heaven's sake, Avis, I can't remember. It was last year sometime.
All right, don't snap.
You want to put your feet up, Edie. You look done in. You work too hard.
What did the doctor say?
I'm anemic.
How did that happen?
I don't know. He says it sometimes happens if you've recently lost a lot of blood, and of course I haven't, so it's a complete mystery.
Evening, Percy. We've just been talking about a friend of yours.
Who might that be?
Fred Bywaters.
Fred Bywaters? Never heard of him.
He's a card, isn't he?
Telegram, Mrs. Thompson.
Oh, thank you, Rose.
Petey, meet me, Waldorf. 8 o'clock. Freddy.
We've been together for hours and you haven't even told me you love me.
If we don't hurry up, you'll miss the last train.
And now you're ignoring me.
PD, of course I love you.
You don't. I can tell you don't.
Oh, Jesus.
You're being distant again and I don't understand why.
All right. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'll tell you. But the whole thing's becoming too painful, PD. It's not fair on you. Maybe it would be better if we were just friends, you know.
What are you saying?
Just that we should try and cool things down a bit. You should try and have other things in your life, apart from me.
Oh, of course. I should get a nice hobby, shouldn't I? Take my mind off things. Take up whisk drive.
No, that's not what I meant.
After all, it's just a squalid little affair, isn't it? In a few months' time, we'll have forgotten all about it. These things happen, you soon get over it. Don't make a fuss, whatever you do.
Petey, try and be reasonable.
I won't be reasonable. I will not be the wounded woman who gives in gracefully and takes comfort knitting socks for soldiers. I will not behave well. You are the man I found to love from all the world. I've fought for you. I will not go quietly. Did you think I would say yes? Let's just be friends if the last year hadn't happened? I will never want anyone else, Freddy. I want the one I want, and that is you.
Well, Petey, darling, look at the pain it causes you. I'm frightened I might let you down, and I might disappoint you somehow.
It is not pain. It's love. And you will never let me down, ever. We are two halves of one whole. We cannot exist without each other. Freddy, please. Tell me that you love me. Kiss me, hold me. Everything will be all right. It will, it will.
I do love you. I do. I'd do anything for you, Petey. Oh, Jesus. Where can we go?
Here, should we get in this carriage, Freddy?
No.
Why?
Let's find an empty one. Here we are. Quick, before anyone else grabs it.
What are you doing?
Pulling the blinds down. I'm going to make love to you.
I'm off then.
What?
I said I'll see you later, around 3.
Oh. What time did you say?
3. I'll get some lunch at work.
All right. I might do a bit of shopping. It's my first Saturday off for months.
God, it stinks in here. What have you put in the bath?
Sandalwood oil. Gorgeous, isn't it? You'd better get a move on, Percy, or you'll miss your train. You were the only boy in the world, and I was the only girl. Nothing else would matter in the world. I got away as quickly as I could. It's not mine yet, is it?
8:52 precisely. Oh, it's gone to work then.
Yes, Saturday is half day. Oh, darling, isn't this wonderful? There's absolutely no one about.
Oh, come on, try ourselves.
Shall we go over there?
Where?
Away from the path, amongst those trees.
Petey, what are you suggesting?
I want you to take me into the bushes.
How long have we got?
An hour and a half. Then I have to be in to collect the laundry.
Darlingest lover of mine, thank you, thank you, oh, thank you 1,000 times for Friday. It was lovely. It's always lovely to go out with you. And then Saturday, yes, I did feel happy. I didn't think a teeny bit about anything in this world except being with you. And all Saturday evening I was thinking about you. I was just thinking all the time how much I had won. Because I have, darling, won such a lot. It seems such a great big thing to me sometimes that I can't breathe. Darling, we've said we'll always be pals, haven't we? Shall we say we'll always be lovers, even those secret ones? Or is it this great big love, a thing we can't control? Dare we say that? I think I will dare. Yes, I will. I'll always love you. If you are dead, if you've left me, even if you don't love me, I always shall you.
Petey, darling, do you remember saying the hope for all or the finish of all? Petey, the finish of all seems terrible even to contemplate. What, darling, would it be in practice? Petey, Mia, I love you more and more every day. It grows, darling, and will keep on growing. Darling, in the park on Saturday, our park, you were my little devil. I was happy then, P.D., were you? I wasn't thinking of other things, only you, darling. You was my entire world. I love you so much, my P.D. I mustn't ever think of losing you.
Darlingest boy, I tried so hard to find a way out of tonight, but he was suspicious and still is. I suppose we must make a study of this deceit for some time longer. I hate it. I hate every lie I have to tell to see you, because lies seem such mean things to attain such an object as ours. Darlingest, find me a job abroad. I'll go tomorrow and not say I was going to a soul and not have one little regret. Meet you in Fuller's for tea.
I tried, darling, truly, but it was arranged ages ago. I can't get out of it.
I've only 2 days left before I sail. It's not fair. I don't want you to go to the theatre with him.
We'll be with Auntie Lily and Uncle Jack and Avis. I won't be alone with him.
What about tomorrow? Can you still make tea?
I've got to meet the new maid at Paddington Station. Now, maybe I can get away later. I'll try. I promise. Oh, darling, I'm sorry. But Thursday, definitely, before you sail.
I don't want to leave you this time, P.D. Come away with me. Why can't you just leave everything?
We don't have enough money, darling. And anyway, I couldn't just walk out on Thursday, not out of the blue like that. He's actually being quite sweet at the moment.
What?
By the time you're back, we'll have worked something out. I'll try to find us a little flat. I'll have saved up enough, and I'll try one more time to get him to give me a divorce. If he won't...
You'll come away with me.
Yes. I have to go. You know I don't want to. Walk with me to the station. Let me feel you near me for every last second.
You seem to enjoy yourself this evening, Edie.
I did. The dancing was good, wasn't it?
I thought you were going to teach me to dance properly.
Problem is, Percy, you've got 2 left feet. Avis is the one you want. She's got more patience than me.
Remember the time I tried to learn the tango?
God, that was funny. You had such a look of concentration on your face. Avis and I nearly split our sides.
What?
I thought I heard something. Did you?
No. Cat or something. Anyway, we could go there again next year.
Ilfracombe. Do you fancy it?
Well, Eastbourne's nice, apparently. There's some nice hotels on the front.
Well, we could try Eastbourne then, if you like.
That would be nice. We could. There is some... What? Oh.
What do you want?
Oh. What are you doing? Oh. Stop it! Please, stop it! Fred, God's sake, what are you doing? God. What have they done to you?
Are you all right?
Get a doctor! Get a doctor! There's blood coming out of his mouth! Please help him, for God's sake! What's happening to him? He's my husband!
Why won't they let me see him, Mum? If they let me go to him, I could make him better.
You can't make him better, love. I've told you.
There was blood coming from his mouth. As someone rushed past. He must have had a seizure or something.
Who rushed past? Did you get a look at him?
A man. I don't know. Oh, Mum, will it get better, do you think? I could nurse him at home. I'd have him on his feet in no time.
He won't be coming home, dear. He's dead.
4 or 5 stab wounds, Mrs. Thompson. One of which went in the back of his neck and came out of his mouth. Someone bring her a glass of water.
We were coming along Belgrave Road, and just near the corner of Ensley Gardens, someone flew past us. I heard him call out. And he just fell up against me. I put my arms out to save him, and there was blood coming from his mouth.
So he just said, "Oh, and fell over."
Yes.
Sounds a bit far-fetched, doesn't it?
I don't understand what you mean. If you just let me go home and get some sleep, I'm so muddled, it happened very quickly.
This is a murder inquiry, Mrs. Thompson.
I can't take it in, don't you understand? Why are you treating me like a criminal? I haven't done anything.
Mrs. Thompson, look out the window for a moment. There's a man coming out of the building across the yard. He's with a police officer. Recognise him?
No. I mean...
It's Frederick Bywaters, isn't it? No point trying to protect him. He's admitted it.
Oh, God, why did he do it? Why did he do it?
Right. Let's have another go at this statement, shall we?
I don't need a solicitor, Mr. Stone. I've not done anything wrong.
Mrs. Thompson, at the moment, there's nothing whatsoever to suggest that you were involved in the murder of your husband. There is nothing at all to implicate you.
I don't know why he did it. He must have been mad.
You are both being charged with murder, however.
I can't do this. It's ridiculous.
I'm here to help you, Mrs. Thompson. At the moment, what I need to know is this. Did he, Mr. Bywaters, ever correspond with you?
Yes. Why?
Are the letters still in your possession?
I burnt them.
A pity he didn't do likewise with your replies, which are now in the hands of the police. They want to use them in evidence against you. I've not yet had a chance to see them.
You can't! They're private things. They can't read my private letters. You must let them. You've got to stop them.
I realise this must be embarrassing for you, Mrs. Thompson, but they're already working through them.
I wonder if you could let me have a cigarette.
Oh, keep your head down, Mrs. Thompson.
Get these bloody people out of the way, can you? Can you give us a statement of the other pair, Mr. Stone?
I'm afraid not, no.
Mrs. Thompson. Over here, Mrs. Thompson.
Sir, just a quick word on the case. Oh, Mr. Stone.
Gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
As I'm sure you know already, my client, along with Mr. Bywaters, has been committed for trial at the Old Bailey. In the meantime, she's being kept in remand at Holloway Prison. I have nothing more to add than that. Thank you.
Now I know what animals must feel like in the zoo. And I've done nothing to deserve this. All I did was love you. There's the adulteress. There's the woman who did that. Looks almost normal, doesn't she? You could have her to tea and never know. I can't sleep. My mind goes round and round and it always comes back to the same place. Why did you do it, Freddy? I didn't mean for you to do that awful thing. I try to imagine you in a cell like this one, lying awake. Sometimes I imagine where it might end and my heart drops like a stone. I can't describe it. It's like a whole bottle of neat fear. It's the worst feeling I've ever known in my life.
Thank you.
Mrs. Thompson, I beg of you. Sir Henry Curtis Bennett is one of the finest KCs in London. You must heed his advice.
But how can I explain anything if you don't allow me to go into the witness box? No one will understand. They'll think I'm trying to hide something.
Thank you.
Sir?
Still being obstinate, Mrs. Thompson?
I'm trying to reason with her, Sir Henry.
Now, let us lay out the facts. They're putting forward a selection of the letters as proof of collusion.
I realise that.
You'll never survive the cross-examination. They will tie you in knots. They will laugh at you. If you just leave it to me...
If I've done nothing wrong, there's nothing to be afraid of, is there?
The letters. You talk of the tea tasting bitter. You talk of putting glass in his porridge. I can explain that to the jury, but you cannot explain it from the witness box.
I will tell the truth.
You cannot. To tell the truth would do you unimaginable damage.
How?
Mrs. Thompson, I am fighting for your life. You do understand that. You won't mind, therefore, if I broach an indelicate matter.
What?
How many abortions did you have during the course of your relationship with Mr. Bywaters?
How could you think...
Well, isn't that what you were referring to when you wrote of having the wrong porridge this morning? And can't you send me something? Well, how are you going to explain those lines in court?
I'll tell the truth.
Do they refer to abortion?
No.
Mrs. Thompson, I make no moral judgment. I can quite imagine the circumstances which led to such a decision. Do the lines refer to abortion?
Yes.
Then you cannot tell the truth. Do you understand? They will hang you out of sheer self-righteousness, whether you are guilty or not.
I'm not guilty. I will explain everything to them.
Oh, what about this letter here? Exhibit number 49. I tried the light bulb again today, big pieces too, but he didn't even notice. Well, how are you going to explain that, Mrs. Thompson? Please, I beg of you.
I wanted him to think that I was willing to do anything to keep him. They didn't find any glass or poison in Percy's body, did they? So it will be obvious to the jury that I was just...
Lying.
No, it was a kind of game. We were testing each other. You have to understand the tone of voice. If only you will let me tell it in my own way, I know they'll understand.
Mrs. Thompson, that is the point. They will not allow you to tell it in your way. You have been prosecuted by Sir Thomas Inskip, the Solicitor General. He will require you to tell the story in his way. His sole aim is to find you guilty. Do you understand that?
that end, he is not interested in your version of events. He merely needs to prove that his version is the correct one. He spends almost every day of his life in the law courts. He will run circles around.
But
Sir Thomas Inskip believes that you are guilty. If you allow me to deal with the matter of the letters, I believe I can have them disregarded with very little ado.
But in a British court of justice, if you tell the truth...
That is not the point. It isn't quite as straightforward as you seem to think.
I have to take the stand, Sir Henry. I know they'll understand if you let me talk to them.
Mrs. Thompson, must I get down on my knees?
Thank you. I brought your clothes in for tomorrow, Edie. Mum thought you should wear mourning because... Well, you know...
Did you bring the velvet hat, Avis? The one with the plumes?
It's here.
Do you think it will look all right? With the musquash coat?
It's not important, Edie. You'll look fine.
There are hundreds of people queuing up at the Old Bailey. Mr. Stern told me. They're selling their places for 5 shillings. It's horrible. You can't imagine what it feels like. I keep thinking half the street might be there, the neighbours and everything.
We'll all be there for you, don't worry. Bessie, Auntie Lily, everyone.
It seems ridiculous. The contortions we perform to keep the thing a secret, and now complete strangers can gloat over every detail. Oh, Avis, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm putting you all through this. You, especially. I know how you and...
Shh. It's all right. You've nothing to apologise for, Edie.
Mm.
Nothing at all.
Frederick Edward Francis Bywaters and Edith Jessie Thompson, you are charged together on indictment with the offence of murder. The particulars being that on the 4th of October in this year, you murdered Percy Thompson. Frederick Edward Francis Bywaters, are you guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Edith Jessie Thompson, are you guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
My lord, before the Solicitor General starts to open the case to the jury, I have an objection to make to certain evidence that I understand the Solicitor General desires to mention to the jury in his opening.
In what regard, Sir Henry?
With regard, my lord, to the matter of the correspondence. I would like the court to regard the evidence as inadmissible.
You understand what happened this morning, Mrs. Thompson. We didn't manage to get the letters excluded.
Oh. Oh, well. Never mind. I'm sure Sir Henry did his best.
You mustn't worry. It's only a small setback.
How long will it all last?
It's hard to say. A week, perhaps?
I was almost close enough to touch him. I wanted to just take him in my arms and say, why did you do it? Just tell me, and then let's all go home and everything will be all right. But I couldn't, of course, and anyway, he didn't even look at me, did he? I expect someone told him not to. He always likes to do things properly. He's got lovely manners, and they teach you to obey when you're a sailor, don't they? Except, actually, I wish people would stop calling him that, because he's a ship's writer, which is not the same thing at all, is it? I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It's just such a shock, that's all.
What about a little lunch?
I can't eat. It's like ashes in my mouth. You don't have a cigarette, do you?
Oh, here you are.
Are they going to read my letters out in front of everyone?
It's a distinct possibility.
Will they make me read them myself?
No. One of the prosecution will do that.
A total stranger? A man? Oh, God, in front of my family. What about my mother? She won't be able to bear it. It'll be all over the papers. How will she bear the shame of it?
Don't think about that now, Mrs. Thompson.
What else can I think about? This must be killing them. When I saw Dad the other day, I thought my heart was going to burst. It was hopeless. He was trying to be cheerful, and I thought, what are we doing? I'm about to be tried for murder. This doesn't happen to people like us.
Try and be calm, Mrs. Thompson. Just have faith in Sir Henry.
You said it was enough for an elephant. Perhaps it was. But you don't allow for the taste, making it possible for only a small quantity to be taken. We now come to exhibit number 19, postmarked May the 1st, 1922.
Could someone bring the defendant
out? Please, God, make this stop. I cannot hold out any longer. Please, God, let me die now.
My very own darlingest boy, in one of your letters...
5 5 20 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5 6 5
shall not say that again. Sir Thomas, you have been reading the correspondence most eloquently for 3 hours now. Perhaps I might ask you to continue to the end of this particular letter, then I think we might call a halt, excellent though your delivery may be. It seems to me quite obvious that they are mostly gush. Copies will be distributed to members of the jury. Do you have any objection to make, Sir Henry?
No, my lord. I would wish to spare my client any further humiliation.
Sir Thomas?
My lord, in the light of your remark, I suggest that we proceed without further ado to the end of the particular letter, Exhibit Number 19, in order to draw the attention of the jury to the final paragraph, in which Mrs. Thompson refers to attempted poisoning.
No, it wasn't.
I have no objection.
I had to tell them what I meant.
It's a gush we've all had enough of. You may proceed.
Thank you, my lord. The mail was in this morning, and I read your letter, darling. I cried. I couldn't help it. Such a lot of it sounded so sad. I know exactly how you were feeling. I was buoyed up with the hope of the light bulb, and used a lot. Big pieces, too, not powdered. And it had no effect.
I can't believe I wrote this. It sounds ridiculous. If you saw the letters he sent to me, you'd understand.
Unhappy. Wouldn't the stuff make small pills coated together with soap?
I don't want to hear any more of this. If you were the only boy in the world, no, not that one. Oh, thank God.
Do you have any comment to make, Sir Henry, before the defendant Bywaters is called?
Only this, my lord. The jury will, of course, understand that in addition to those letters, there are 33 others on which the prosecution do not rely, and which are not put in.
Thank you, Sir Henry. The jury are fully aware of that fact. Mr. Whiteley, you may call Mr. Bywaters.
Freddie, I can't sleep. Every night it's the same. I feel as if I'm going mad. Tonight it's worse than ever. When I close my eyes, I see you in the dock. Even with the mopran, it's running round the back of my brain like a reel of film. I can't sleep for the sound of your voice echoing in my head. Why didn't you tell the truth? That it was a game. I'll try to tell them, Freddie. I will. I'll try and make them understand. It breaks my heart hearing you trying to save me.
In the next passage that I call your attention to, she refers to another specific. I was buoyed up with the hope of the light bulb, and I used a lot, big pieces too. Did you understand that to mean that she had taken glass?
I understood that to be a lie from her to me.
Look at the letter. Can we get this clear? Was she lying about
what her husband... You shouldn't have used the word lie. Stop it. Stop saying it. That isn't what you mean.
I say she was lying about what she had taken herself. She wanted me to believe she was willing to commit suicide.
Read the next sentence. I feel I shall never get him to take a sufficient quantity of anything bitter. Have you any doubt that you understood that to mean the husband?
I did not understand that.
To whom did you understand it referred?
Well, perhaps she'd made a mistake in the words.
And meant not him, but me.
Yes.
Oh, God, why didn't you just burn the letters, Freddy? Why didn't you just burn them?
Could Mrs. Thompson come into the witness box?
All I could think about last night was the compact we made. Shall we have to carry it through? Don't let us, darlings. Death seemed horrible last night. When you think about it, darlings, it does seem a horrible thing to die when you've never been really happy for one little minute. Mrs. Thompson, what compact were you referring to in that letter to Bywaters?
The compact of suicide.
Look at the letter, Exhibit 27, where you say, I had the wrong porridge today, but I don't suppose it will matter. What were you referring to?
I really cannot explain.
The suggestion is that from time to time you put things in your husband's porridge. Glass, for instance.
I had not done so.
Then can you give any explanation for the phrase, the wrong porridge?
Except that we had suggested or talked about that kind of thing, and I said, oh yes, I'll give him something one of these days.
You mean you had talked about poison?
I didn't mean anything in particular.
Calm down, Mrs. Thompson.
I didn't know what I was talking about. I've let everybody down. I kept thinking, can we just go back to the beginning and start again? Just let me sit here and tell you everything, but I can't deal with all the questions.
Cigarette.
And why did they ask me all those questions about books? How could they think I was planning to poison my husband just because a character in a book does it?
Sir Henry will deal with all that tomorrow in his summing up. You must trust him, Mrs. Thompson. He has come through before and from much further down the field.
That's it, sir. The van's here to take her back.
Members of the jury, am I right or wrong in saying that this woman is one of the most extraordinary personalities that you or I have ever met? Bywater truly described her, did he not? As a woman who lived the sort of life I don't suppose any of you live. An extraordinary life of make-believe. She reads a book and then imagines herself one of the characters in the book. You have read her letters. Have you ever read, mixed up with criticisms of books, mixed up with all sorts of references with which I shall have to deal, more beautiful language of love? This is the woman you have to deal with, not some ordinary woman. I ask you again to get into the atmosphere of the life of Mrs. Thompson. I do not care whether it is described as an amazing passion, to use the words of the Solicitor General, or as an adulterous intercourse. Thank God this is not a court of morals, because if everyone immoral was brought here, I would never be out of it, nor would you. Whatever name is given to it, it was certainly a great love that existed between these two people. And I ask you to bear that most strongly in mind when considering your verdict.
Thank you, Sir Henry. Before the court rises, I wish to offer you, members of the jury, this advice. By all means, get into the atmosphere and try to understand what the letters mean. But you should not forget that you are in a court of justice, trying a vulgar and common crime. You are not listening to a play from the stalls of a theatre. When you are thinking it over, you should think it over in that way. Sir Henry will continue his summing up for the defence tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. The court will rise.
Do you think they'll reach a verdict tonight?
I can't say.
I need another cigarette.
Of course, sorry.
Jury are coming back. Come along, Mrs. Thompson.
Oh, well, what do I do?
This way. Vi, take her around.
Do you find the prisoner, Frederick Bywaters, guilty or not guilty of the murder of Percy Thompson?
Guilty.
No.
Do you find the prisoner, Edith Thompson, guilty or not guilty of the murder of Percy Thompson?
Guilty.
No.
Frederick Bywaters and Edith Thompson, you stand severally convicted of murder. Have you or either of you anything to say why the court should not give you judgment of death according to the law?
The verdict is wrong. Edith Thompson is not guilty. I am not an assassin.
Is there any question of law, Sir Henry, as to the sentence I have to pronounce?
No, my lord.
I'm not guilty! Oh, God, I'm not guilty!
Someone's bringing you a glass of water, Mrs. Thompson.
They're going to hang me! Get out of here!
We will appeal, Mrs. Thompson. All is not lost, believe me.
Here's your family.
Oh, please, love.
Edie.
Dad! Take me home, Dad!
Mrs. Thompson?
How are you feeling today?
A bit better, Sir Henry. I'm getting used to it here. And I'm sleeping at night. Isn't that odd? I'm putting all my faith in the appeal. I think that's the best thing, don't you?
It's been set for December 21st. I'm confident we'll win.
I don't even think about losing. Mum says thousands of people are signing a petition about me. That's nice, isn't it? Pity we didn't have some of them on the jury.
I'm afraid there was a great deal of prejudice against you.
I've been trying to look at it from the outside, which is very hard, but I suppose the age thing didn't help. They thought I'd seduced an innocent boy, but it didn't feel like that to us.
You represented everything that the jurymen most fear. The wife who cheats, the seductress, the woman with no children who earns more than a husband. Dangerous, you see. But that's what did it, not the facts of the murder. Do you understand?
Not really. I don't see myself as any of those things.
Why didn't you just leave him, Mrs. Thompson?
People don't do that sort of thing in Ilford. Not even me.
Well, let's look forward to the appeal, eh? And concentrate on getting that verdict overturned.
I don't see how I can be found guilty of something which everyone agrees I didn't do. Mostly what I don't understand is why he did it. I don't suppose I'll ever know that. Even if I win the appeal, I'll probably never see him again in the whole of my life. Will I? December 21st. Dearest Mother and Dad, I can hardly take it in that we've lost. Today seems the end of everything. I can't think. I just seem up against a black, impenetrable wall. It's not within my powers of realization that this sentence must stand for something which I have not done, something which I did not know of either at the time or previously. I know you both know this. I've tried to unravel this tangle of my existence. This thing we call life. It has been an existence, that's all. Just a passing through, meeting trials and shocks and surprises with a smiling face and an aching heart, and eventually facing death, that thing there is no escaping, no hope of defeating. Even now, I cannot realize all it means, but you must both bear up. Just think that I'm trying to do the same, and I'm sure that thought will help you through. Edith.
We thought we'd go to Aunt Dill's for Christmas.
That'll be nice.
Of course, it won't be the same without
you. Remember last Christmas? That huge turkey and me wearing my party hat on the tube. I won't see you till after the holiday now, will I?
We're not allowed.
No. 29, I'll be.
God, what a Christmas. What a birthday.
Try to get a bit of food down you, Mrs. Thompson. Lovely bit of chicken for your Christmas lunch.
What's the point? What's the point? I can't bear it. I can't bear it. Why doesn't someone get me out of here? I haven't done anything.
Mrs. Thompson, the governor's brought someone to see you.
Sir Henry would like a few words with you.
Mrs. Thompson?
What?
Transit up a bit. Come on. Transit.
She's done her.
Have you come to take me home?
Morphine. We're trying to knock her out. Mm. I'm afraid she might injure herself.
Mrs. Thompson. Mm. Can you understand what I'm saying?
You seem a long way away. What time is it? How long have I been asleep?
Don't worry about that now, Mrs. Thompson. Listen to me. Mr. Bywaters has made a written confession. He admits the murder on his own behalf and stresses your total innocence. I have the letter here. I'm about to call on the Home Secretary to ask him to overturn the verdict. There is still time, Mrs. Thompson. He's in the country for the weekend, but I'm sure he will let us have his opinion as soon as possible.
It's the middle of the night, isn't it?
Yes. I'll talk to him in his pyjamas if I have to. Now, you should try and get some sleep. I think we have a strong chance of success, Mr. Thompson.
What if he says no? What if he says no? Don't leave me. I don't want you to go. Did he say anything else, Freddy?
Not in this particular letter, no. But your innocence, that's the main thing. That's what is important at the moment. And now, I must go. Forgive me. Goodbye, Mrs. Thompson. We'll speak tomorrow.
Good night, sir. Just try and get some sleep. That's it.
I'm so frightened.
Hello, Edie.
They're going to kill me tomorrow.
Oh, you'll be coming home with us. Just you wait.
They're going to kill me.
There'll be a last-minute repeal, Edie. Everybody said so.
Be taking you home, love. No doubt about it.
What day is it?
Monday.
They're going to kill me tomorrow. Why doesn't someone do something? Why can't you take me home, Mum?
We will, love, we will. We'll take you home tomorrow, we promise.
I've been weighed 3 times today.
Tomorrow you'll be home with us. Just remember that.
The papers are full of it. Everyone's on your side. Can someone give me a cigarette? Oh. The governor said to me yesterday, or today, I can't remember, why did you write all that stuff in the letters? And I said, no one knows what he was writing to me. That's the truth.
I want to go home. Where are my shoes?
No, come on.
I'll just find them and I'll be off. You've just taken them, haven't you?
Has someone gone for the governor?
It was so terrible what you did. Look at these stockings. How can I go to a party in these? I used to wear silk ones, you know.
There.
Excuse me, I really
the governor
must go
will give
now.
You
my parents
are expecting
me. Have you met my parents? Let me out of here.
No.
The
injection's wearing off.
How did you do it?
Hold a steady,
please. Bring my coat. The fur would be best in this room. Of course, I'm not going anywhere, am I? I
something
know
to help
that.
You
no,
rest.
Don't listen to that.
Mrs.
I don't
Thompson.
Want to rest. I have to stay awake. How can you
look,
do this to me?
Try to get a little light out of you. You'll see if you can. I'll give it a shot of morphine.
Come on, come on. Jesus, why are we doing this? Can someone tell me?
Now, that's right, Mrs. Thompson. Just let me have your arm.
Just relax.
Hey. You'll feel much better now.
But don't leave me. I'm frightened. What day is it? When are they going to kill me?
But just try to get some sleep, Mrs. Thompson.
If I go to sleep, you'll kill me when I wake up. Don't make me go to sleep. I'm frightened.
There's no need to be afraid.
No need to be afraid. No need to be afraid. What was it again? I was worrying about something.
Past 3 o'clock on a cold frosty morning, past 3 o'clock, good my master's all. No, mustn't go to sleep. Open your eyes. Who are these people? I wish there was wallpaper. When I wake up, I'll be at home. When I wake up,
I have to say this, sir. I have to. I never want to go through this again.
No, I don't think any of us do. Don't hesitate to call me if you need anything. I shan't be asleep. I won't sleep till it's over now.
I can't believe we're doing this.
Her hair's going white.
Poor cow. Poor woman. Poor bloody woman. No one deserves this.
What are they doing? Maybe I'm going home.
Let's just get your phone, Mrs. Thompson.
Oh, no.
The governor's going to give you another shot of
morphine. No, I want to go back to sleep. I know what
the chaplain's
doing.
Here.
Why is there a priest?
Come on. Come on.
No.
Have you anything you'd like to tell me, Mrs. Thompson? Be thy name.
I'll just give you some more morphine. It'll calm you down.
Leave me alone! Someone will come and rescue me. They have to. Any minute now, Dad will walk in the door. Dad!
That's right.
Take me home, Dad!
There. That's better.
Oh, she's calming down now. Oh, God. They're here now.
Someone's at the door.
Come on, mate. Soon be over.
Who are you? What are you doing?
Come on, Lord.
I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Thank you. 9 o'clock in the dot, they did it. Chaplain was there. She didn't make a confession. Not that they expected one. So, that's that. She was full of morphine, Stern. They had to carry her to the scaffold. They hanged a woman who was practically unconscious. I can't believe it. I can't believe they did it.
Darlingest boy, I'm writing to you in my head because I've no pen or paper, and anyway I'm on a bus on my way to work. I try to imagine you out there in the middle of the ocean. Perhaps you're asleep in your cabin. Freddy, sweetheart, do you hear me where you sleep?
Darling Peedy by Sheila Stevenson, you heard Rachel Joyce, Charles Simpson, Peter White, Teresa Stretfield, Norman Bird, Gudrun Ewer, Cyril Jenkins, Joanna Myers, David Lerner, Mark Lambert, and Jonathan Adams, with Brett Usher, Nicholas Murchie, Peter Gunn, and Keith Drinkle. The producer was Jeremy Mortimer.